Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
And good evening, welcome to The Parent Show. It's a rainy evening out there, but we're going to have fun here tonight on the show. I'm Shirley Hayman.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
We've got a packed show tonight and we've got a packed studio. There's currently five of us squashed in here and we've got more people waiting outside. So keep listening. There's going to be something for everybody. And we're going to be saying some hellos to some local schools tonight. So tonight's show is all about dance, movement. Why, who, you know, do you dance? Or did your dad do dad dancing? So tonight's star guest, who's someone I met 35 years ago, I can't believe it, giving away his age, it's a doctor, Dr. Peter Lovett. But you may have seen him on TV this week. He's been on every day. Peter, evening, welcome.
Good evening. Thanks for inviting me.
Pleasure. And we've got other people. We've got Zoe Jackson on tonight, who is from a local company called Living the Dream. We've got Sue Wybrow. Kathy, she's from
Pop Dance.
Local company.
Oh, yes. Very local.
Great. And we've got two young people in tonight. Chloe Page from Stags School, who is someone that loves dance. And somebody else called Millie, who's going to be on later. Is that everybody?
I think that's everybody, yeah.
So, you know, if you're listening, please do tweet us, Facebook us. We want to hear your messages. I know there's people listening out there that love dancing. Kathy, tell us, how can they get in touch, please?
Well, you can tweet us at Parent Show or just Facebook us. We're there, Radio Verrill and Parent Show, and our lovely assistant Julie is out there awaiting your tweets.
Or you can even call in. Yeah, we have a phone line, 01727 839 926. That's 839 926. Please send in your questions, your comments. We really want to hear what you think. Right, so back to the show. We've got Peter with us and we've got so many questions, Peter, we want to ask you. And we're not going to get through all of them. But can we just hear, because it's quite an inspiring story. Just tell us, I mean, can you do it in 3 or 4 minutes? How did you end up from that boy I knew at school dancing in colour supplement at Beaumont, yeah, one of the best schools in St Albans, to being this kind of celebrity guy on TV? How did you do it?
Well, it was been very sort of indirect, really. So I danced because I couldn't really read very well. And so I was hopeless at reading and writing. So English, geography, history, all those things had to go by the by. But I could dance and it just felt entirely natural to dance. And then when I was 16, I went off to dance college. I went to East Harts College, first of all, to study theatre and creative arts. And then got a place at Guildford School of Acting to study dance there, and then musical theatre. When I left Guildford, I then worked in the professional theatre for several years. I had a fantastic life going around the world dancing in different musical theatre shows. I just had the most amazing time of my life. It was fantastic. Mm. But then in my early 20s, I learned to read. And overcoming all the reading difficulties, I applied dancing, the things I'd learned in dance, to help me to overcome reading difficulties. And then, so I did an A-level at St Albans College, actually, A-level psychology in the evening class while I was dancing. And then went off and got a degree in psychology and then a master's degree and then a doctorate. And I was doing my postdoctoral work at Cambridge University in the English faculty at Cambridge University, looking at language learning and how we learn and understand language. And it occurred to me while I was there that, well, first of all, I missed dance desperately. I hadn't danced for a couple of years and I missed it with all my heart. And so I combined dance and psychology together because there are lots of similarities between language and dance. I mean, dance, we communicate so much through our body when we're moving, and learning dance routines is very similar to learning languages, learning different types of dance, like learning different types of languages. So ballet or contemporary dance or tap dancing is like learning sort of Greek, Latin or French in many ways. And so I wanted to understand what was happening in dancers when they're learning things. And then really it's grown up from there. Mm. And I'm very lucky now that I can combine dance and psychology together. And I'm invited onto lots of TV programs and radio programs where I can talk about dance and psychology, and I can dance and psychology. So, I'm very lucky.
Thank you for sharing that. And I mean, you know, we know you've been on TV every day this week, haven't we? Tomorrow's your last day?
Tomorrow's last day on the Alan Titchmarsh Show, yep, 3 o'clock ITV. And that's been fantastic fun.
Great. What benefits are there to young children? do you think, attending dance classes from such a young age? You know, you hear about these little two-year-olds going to ballet every week. Mm-hmm. Is it worth it, Peter?
Well, yes, it can be worth it. Now, we've done a lot of research at the University of Hertfordshire looking at the psychology of dance, and we look at the psychological benefits of engaging in dance. Mm. And if the dance isn't too competitive, then it can be really beneficial for young children to dance from a very early age. So what we find is when we watch young people dance, 3 and 4 year olds, they just move naturally. I mean, even a 6 month old starts to move to a rhythm and a groove. They have, we are born to dance, and children just express that through their bodies, which is great. When they get to about 4 or 5, some of those, they start to become inhibited with their movements. And then with 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, they become even more inhibited with their movements in their body. And they start to shut down some of those natural responses to rhythms. And sending young children to dance classes can be a fantastic opportunity for them to continue to feel that natural rhythm and groove,
right,
and to give them physical freedom. We also know that dancing can be very good for young people's self-esteem. And it's a great way of expressing themselves as well, and socialising people. Mm. So it has, there are lots of psychological benefits for dancing for young people.
Excellent. Now, you know, you mentioned that we get to a certain age and we get more embarrassed. Mm. You know, why does that happen? Why do people suddenly don't want to dance in public? Or, you know, like that thing about girls dancing around their handbags and hardly moving. Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, we've done a survey of 14,000 people and looking at the way they dance. We've looked at people from right across their lifespan. So from 7-year-olds to 90-year-olds for both men and women. So, of course, it's 14,000 people across that age. And what we find is that young girls, particularly girls under the age of 16, have got really high dance confidence. They're really confident dancing. But once they get over 16, actually their confidence goes right through the floor. And between sort of 17 and 20-year-old girls or young women have the lowest confidence of moving their body. And that's when they start to move and dance, perhaps for different reasons.
Right.
Now, there are some evolutionary psychologists who argue that one of the functions of dance is to do with mate selection. And Charles Darwin argued that we dance as a form of mate selection. Now, of course, young people dance in dance classes up until they're 16 or 17. And then at 17, 18, might start to go to discos and nightclubs and things where they start to use dance for very different purposes. And some of that inhibition, we think, comes from that exposing themselves in a different way and understanding that they're no longer dancing to pass exams or for medals.
Yeah.
They're suddenly dancing as an exhibition to maybe attract a mate. This is what some evolutionary psychologists argue.
Excellent. Do you think dancing really does make us feel happy? Because I think I feel happy when I dance, but am I imagining that?
No, you're not imagining it at all. It really is. Again, there have been lots of psychological studies and scientific studies carried out on this. You can get access to some of these studies looking on my website. You can get access to the papers there. But what the papers really show is that dance does improve people's moods. Now, it improves people's moods just dancing who are feeling a little bit blue, but it's also been shown for people with depression, with mild to moderate depression, but also another study looked at people with severe depression, and they found that dancing did lift their mood, which is really quite incredible. I mean, one study looked at a patient in a hospital who'd been hospitalised for their severe depression, and engaging in dance was an activity that lifted their mood, and it lifted it significantly. And it wasn't just the music that lifted it, because they did a very clever study where they controlled for the effect of music, and they found that it was actually the dancing and the moving their bodies in a rhythmic way which improved their mood.
So are dancers happy people generally, in your experience?
Well, some of them are happy. And the really hard thing with being a dancer, particularly a professional dancer, now there's a real distinction between professional dancers and recreational dancers. So recreational dancers are very happy people. They're happy, beautiful people. And they can dance right the way across their life, from birth to the other end of their life, and they can never stop dancing. It's fantastic to watch. Professional dancers have a much harder time, because unlike musicians, dancers, they get to the peak of their abilities, and almost as soon as they finish training, they're at the peak of their abilities. And then, of course, their abilities start to drop down because their body size changes. A lot of female dancers want to have children, and that might impact it. We know that dancers in ballet companies very often in their late 30s is the latest they have to retire. We know also that only 3% of people who graduate from a professional training school ever earn 1 month's salary as a dancer.
Really?
Only 3%.
Gosh.
So the probability of getting a job is tiny, and the anxiety is huge, and the opportunities aren't there for dancers. So some of them are not that happy people.
Right.
But those of us who are dancing recreationally are very happy.
Yeah. Are you dancing recreationally these days?
I do, yeah. I dance. I go to dance classes 4 or 5 times a week.
Do you?
Yeah. And I dance socially, and I dance professionally a little bit now. But yeah, I love to dance. I love to dance.
So is your wife dancing? Is your son dancing? They have to join in?
Well, my son did dance until he was 14. So he went to Aviv Dance School and danced there until he was 14. There's a real problem for teenage boys. You know, they can dance. Digby, who's my son, well, I've got two sons, but so Digby is the 15-year-old. He danced started when he was 7, and at 14, as almost every other boy who dances does as well, he gave up dancing because the style of dancing, I get so frustrated by this. There just wasn't an appropriate form of dance for him to do that he could engage with. He'd loved it until then, and after that it just became inappropriate for so many reasons. I mean, I would love to be able to tell you those reasons, and maybe I will later on. So he doesn't dance anymore. It's a shame. We had a party last weekend, the weekend before, where he danced with us as a family unit, and then went off with his friends. I've got a 1-year-old son as well, and so Romeo, our 1-year-old, he's been bopping around for about the last 3 or 4 months.
Aww.
And when he was first born, Romeo and I would improvise on the bed together, so we would roll around on the bed and just it was lovely. Doing contact improvisation with a baby is wonderful.
Yeah.
You can roll on the floor and just take cues from their movements and pick up their movements, and it's lovely to dance with very young babies.
Something else I wanted to ask you, I mean, moving from babies actually to the other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've heard you talk before that elderly people can benefit from dancing, and you've done some research into Parkinson's, haven't you?
We have, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, several years ago, some research came out of America showing that patients with Parkinson's disease... Now, Parkinson's disease is a neurodegenerative disorder which affects balance and coordination. And these studies suggested that when people with Parkinson's disease danced, engaged in different types of dancing, then it led to a reduction in some of their symptoms. So at the University of Hertfordshire, we set up a research group to look at the effects of dance on Parkinson's. And we've now carried out several studies, and we found very similar findings, that dance does improve the physical symptoms of some aspects of Parkinson's disease, but we've also found that it improves their mood, and most importantly, not really most importantly, but also we've found that there's an improvement in their cognitive processing. So we know that some of the problem-solving abilities of people with Parkinson's disease can be reduced, and we've shown that through different types of dancing, we can compensate for that, and we can improve their problem-solving abilities over a 12-week period. So, yeah, the university, we're doing some very exciting research into Parkinson's. We still don't know what the locus of that is. So we don't know whether the effect of dancing is happening at the brain level or whether it's happening at the mind level, or whether it's at the physical level, or whether it's at an emotional level. So it might be a confidence issue. People might be feeling more confident with moving their bodies. Or it might be a combination of all of those 4 different places. So we're still doing more research into that.
So you obviously know this is a parent show. We've got parents listening, and those parents will have parents themselves. So if we've got people thinking about, you know, the issue of Parkinson's, for example, where can they find out about the research you're doing?
Well, if they go onto the University of Hertfordshire website and then have a look at the psychology department pages there, they can get some information from there. Maybe we can put onto the website to your thing. We could put a link up to the project coordinators at the university, and so they can contact the university.
Thank you, that would be good.
Oh, also, Parkinson's UK is a great place as well.
Yes.
So they go onto the Parkinson's UK website, then there's a lot of resources there, and there's also information about dance and exercise. There are several studies happening around the country looking at that.
Now, you're a local lad, so it's great to have local people on. Do you have any tips? Are you allowed to say, where would you send our parents if they want to get their children dancing? Do you know any local places? Does it not matter if it's local or not? You know, what do you think?
I don't know, I'm afraid.
Don't.
I don't know. So I said Digby, my son, went to Aviv Dance School, and I live in Harpenden, so they had a centre in Watford, and they also taught in Harpenden. I understand there are lots of very, very, very good dance schools in the area, but I'm afraid I can't give any recommendations.
No, okay.
I don't know.
No. We've got CP in the studio. CP, you're 17, 18 now?
17, yes.
Yeah. Where did you start dancing?
I started dancing when I was 3 years old, and I did various forms such as Irish, national, modern, hip-hop, ballet. And then as I grew older, I dropped quite a few, but carried on with national ballet and hip hop. And then as I got into my teenage years, just carried on with hip hop.
So you are you still doing that now?
Yeah, not as regularly, but I right. still do it. Yeah.
Where do you do that now, then?
There's actually a Top Hat run a Monday night session at my school Stags.
Yeah.
But that's unassociated, but that's where they
oh,
run
okay.
it. Yes.
Hey, you must say hello to your friends, because I think they should be listening in.
Hi.
So, yeah, so it's great to have a local young person on, and CP comes from Harpenden, don't you?
Yes.
So, and in fact, that's how we got to know Peter again, because CP, do you want to just say briefly what you were doing? Because that was an amazing thing you
yes,
did.
Yes, I took part in the Dragon's Apprentice Scheme, which brings local businesses and local A-level students together to raise money for charities in the local area. My charity was Youth Talk, who Peter has done work with in the past and Peter's wife has done work with. And we got in contact with Peter through our dragon, Mario. And we held a dot dance experience where Peter, he did a variety of different types of dances and then explained how we remember things and how it improves our mood. And it's just very lighthearted and fun. And we've raised overall about £3,500 for our charity.
That's amazing. So, congratulations. Yes, well done to you and your team, because I was lucky enough to go to that night and I expected to sit down on a seat and do nothing, but left a few hours later absolutely sweating. So Peter was great. In fact, that was one of my questions tonight, Peter. You know, you say that you want to encourage people to freestyle dance, I think you said, at this workshop that you did. You know, tell people what that is, because you don't have to be a great dancer, do you, to dance?
No. I think it's a bit of a curse, really, to think about everyone is a great dancer. Everyone can dance and move. And those people who can't dance and move tend to be full of anxiety and physical constraints. And if we can strip away those anxieties, then people can just move their body in a completely natural way. And then they look fantastic and they're beautiful dancers. Everyone can be a beautiful dancer. So it's not about learning, for me, it's not about learning a technique.
No.
And it's certainly not about being told that you're constantly being wrong. Mm. I mean, if we constantly tell people and children that you're wrong, you're not doing that right, your arm's in the wrong position, your head's not looking the right way, da-da, wrong. I mean, gosh, how horrible is that for a young person to grow up always being wrong?
Mm.
And the sort of dancing, one of the sorts of dancing we do is this freestyle dancing, where we just get people to feel the groove inside their body and they express this groove and there's no right and wrong, and they can just move any part of the body they want in any way that they like, and if they feel the rhythm, then it feels fantastic.
Because I saw you did that on TV, didn't you, with Blue, the pop group, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did, with Blue. They were...
who are like singers and you imagine that they're moving on stage, but they looked so kind of embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It was funny on that show. On we did that on Sunday Brunch.
Yeah.
And it was a mainly a male crowd in there.
Oh.
And they were really intimidated by the idea of dancing.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday, actually, on on the Alan Titchmarsh show, there were two chaps. It was the two chaps who were singers from... No, it's today, actually. Britain's Got Talent, the opera singers.
Oh.
What are they
I
called?
Don't know.
Does anyone know what they're called?
Danny, do you know?
Chaz and Dave.
Not quite Chaz and Dave. Anyway, they were up for dancing, and they bottled it at the last minute. They
did
said,
they?
No, we're not going to dance.
Oh.
So other people did dance. So there is a thing about men and dancing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
through our research, we know that lots of men feel really intimidated by dancing.
Yeah.
And they feel uncomfortable dancing.
Mm.
Now, this for us shows, I believe that we're born to dance, and that everyone dances very naturally. And men seem to close that down.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of connotations associated with dancing. I did some work recently with a rugby club in Manchester for a Channel 4 programme, and trying to get them to dance. And it was almost like I'd gone back to the 1970s and being at Beaumont School again. And their attitudes towards a male dancer were just from the Stone Age era.
Right.
Thinking that dance was associated with sexuality somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's amazing is it is, but not for the reasons they think.
Peter, can I just come in, because you've mentioned school, and I think it's a very interesting... issue about how you've mentioned how important dance can be in so many ways for children and their well-being, yet it's not something particularly highlighted in schools, or as you say, particularly for boys maybe. And I just wanted to draw your attention to, you know, the Ken Robinson TED talk where he talks about creativity being sort of stunted in schools, if that's the right term.
Yeah.
So I wondered if we could listen to a little bit of that TED talk and come back to you and get your comment.
But something strikes you when you move to America and when you travel around the world. Every education system on Earth has the same hierarchy of subjects. Everyone, doesn't matter where you go, you think it would be otherwise, but it isn't. At the top are mathematics and languages, then the humanities, and the bottom are the arts, everywhere on Earth. And in pretty much every system too, there's a hierarchy within the arts. Art and music are normally given a higher status in schools than drama and dance. There isn't an education system on the planet that teaches dance every day to children the way we teach them mathematics. Why? Why not? I think this is rather important. I think maths is very important, but so is dance. Children dance all the time, if they're allowed to. We all do. We all have bodies, don't we? You know, did I miss a meeting? I mean, I think... Truthfully, what happens is, as children grow up, we start to educate them progressively from the waist up. And then we focus on their heads, and slightly to one side. If you were to visit education as an alien and say, what's it for, public education, I think you'd have to conclude, if you look at the output, you know, who really succeeds by this? Who does everything they should? Who gets all the brownie points? You know, who are the winners? I think you'd have to conclude the whole purpose of public education throughout the world is to produce university professors. Isn't it? They're the people who come out the top. And I used to be one. So there. You know. But... And I like university professors, but, you know, we shouldn't hold them up as the high watermark of all human achievement. They're just a form of life. You know, another form of life. But they're rather curious, and I say this out of affection for them. There's something curious about professors. In my experience, not all of them, but typically, they live in their heads. They live up there, and slightly to one side. They're disembodied, you know, in a kind of literal way. You know, they look upon their body as a form of transport for their heads. You know, it's... Don't they? It's a way of getting their head to meetings. If you want real evidence of out-of-body experiences, by the way, get yourself along to a residential conference for senior academics and pop into the discotheque on the final night. And there you will see it. Grown men and women writhing uncontrollably off the beat.
Wait until it ends. That was Ken Robbins, and he's fantastically funny, but I think he's made some really serious points there, Peter, about what are we doing, not highlighting how vital dance is for children.
Well, dance is absolutely vitally important to all children. We've shown in some of our research that the way you move your body influences the way you learn and problem solve. And what we're trying to do at the moment is to work with schools to get them to have children moving during the normal school day as part of a physics class even. Because when you move in, say, an improvised way, it can be very good for you learning divergent thinking skills, so problems where there's multiple correct answers. And when we get people moving in a very structured way where they're learning a particular routine, then it's very good for their speed of cognitive processes. And we know more and more and more now that the way you move your body influences the way you think and solve problems. So that we shouldn't be separating the two out. There's an attitude that our bodies are trivial and we only play with our bodies, and our minds are very important and we think with them. Well, we have to start thinking with our body as well, and dancing is a very important part of that.
And let's celebrate the fact, Shirley, we've got a real live child in the studio who dances. Millie, how are you, Millie?
I'm okay.
Welcome to Radio Verulam.
Thank you.
So, Millie, you are a student, aren't you, of Zoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got Zoe in the studio now, Zoe Jackson. Zoe, tell us, because you did something quite inspirational, I think. Just quickly tell us who you are and what you do locally.
Okay, so hi, I'm Zoe Jackson, and I run the Living the Dream Performing Arts Company. It's a company I set up when I was 16 to fund my own arts training and to inspire young people.
And how many years have you been going now?
Since 2006.
Excellent.
Yes, and we've got a School of Performing Arts where we work with young people aged 5 to 18.
Right.
And we run classes and put on shows. But we've also now got a professional dance company.
Excellent.
And a charity, and that supports young people who can't afford access to our activities.
Now, I know you feel really passionate, don't you, Zoe, about... you know, dance is so good for children's self-esteem and emotional well-being, you were telling me?
Yes, yeah? Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
I mean, I think the journey that we've seen some of our students go on from coming in very shy, not able to express themselves, and then working with our teachers to have fun and feel that they're in a safe environment to be able to really go for it and not feel stupid. And in that, that they really go on an incredible journey, growing in confidence and self-esteem, but also talent. And I think it's really important to add as well that whenever our students perform, the feeling of achievement and the sense of being so proud of what they've achieved is something that, that takes them to, that they can take back into their own lives. It's not just through dance that confidence can be transferred to everything that they do.
Yeah. Let's talk to Millie then. Millie, how old are you?
I'm 9 years old.
And you're one of Zoe's students, aren't you? Where do you go to school?
Prayward Primary School.
Okay, and when did you start dancing with Zoe's company?
Last year.
Okay, has it changed your life at all?
Yeah.
Tell us how.
Well, it's really fun and I've made loads of new friends.
Ah, brilliant. Okay. What sort of dancing do you like doing? Any type?
No, not really.
What do you like?
Street dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell, you know, when do you do it? How often do you do it?
Well, we do it in the showcases and we do classes as well.
And does that mean that Daddy, because I know Daddy's here tonight, does he have to drive you all over the place?
Yeah.
How do you go, once a week or more than once?
Once a week.
Okay. What would you say to children that are listening, Millie, similar age to you and maybe younger, about why they would benefit from going to do some dance every week?
Because it's really fun.
Right.
And you can make loads of friends and do loads of showcases.
And what's your best memory of any dance you've done so far?
I think in our Christmas showcase when we did Wicked.
What, you did a musical?
Yeah.
What was your role in that?
I was one of the good witches, so I was Glinda.
Did that go well, Zoe?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so good. You smashed it.
Do you want to say hello to your friends while you're on?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Hi, guys.
Are they listening in?
Yeah, I told all of them.
Excellent. Well done. So if our listeners are, you know, inspired by what they're hearing Millie say and, you know, about what you I just think it's great what you did setting up a company so young. You know, where are you? How can we find out about you?
You can find us online on our website on livingthedreamcompany.co.uk. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Just Google Living the Dream and you will find us somehow, I promise.
Okay.
And super. Do get in touch.
Yeah. Now, did you hear what Peter was saying earlier about for boys, it can be a difficult, you know, they get to a certain age and then what kind of dance is out there for them to do?
Well, for our, we've got a lot of boys,
have
funnily
you?
Enough, yes, and they really respond to street dance and break dance because they see people like Diversity on TV and then they're their role models, so they want to be like them. So that's how we really engage with our young boys. But I think it's also the kind of breakthrough point that the ones that really find that they actually can dance, but also that it's socially acceptable to dance, are the ones that then may potentially continue that onto a career.
Peter, what were you thinking when you hear Zoe say that? That's encouraging, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, some of the things that Diversity and Flawless are brilliant, brilliant role models, aren't they? Because then people want to emulate them and dance. It's very strong, masculine. It's a great form of dance to do. And you need a kind of, I think, a critical mass of boys. If you've only got, I remember when I was dancing, when I was a teenager, I might have been the only boy in a dance class. And, you know, we didn't do street dance at the time. We did jazz and modern. We did modern at that time.
Yeah.
And being the only boy, having to wear certain clothes. I remember having to wear, you know, tights and a T-shirt. And when you're 14, you kind of just go, oh, God, no, I don't want to have to do that.
I remember you, Peter. I've got a vivid memory.
Oh. What I wanted to say is that we actually have an all-boys street dance class. And we find that is amazing, led by a male teacher.
Yeah.
All boys. But we actually do contemporary dance as well. And we have one boy that does it, so he is the only one in the corner, but he doesn't wear tights though.
No. But that's great, isn't it? We need to encourage more and more boys to dance.
Yes.
And I think if we could get, well, I think we could do a couple of things. We could do it from two different directions. We should get more boys dancing in school, so the dance should be seen as a normal activity for boys to do in school. We should show them the research which shows that male dancers are fitter and stronger than Olympic swimmers.
Really?
Olympic swimmers, yes
ballet dancers are the most fit athletes in the world.
Absolutely. And if we've got strong boys who want to be fit athletes, then ballet training should be their priority to do that. That should be normal. And the other thing we should do, here we are, this is just for you, we should get more dads dancing. So we should almost have like showcases where dads, after dropping off their kids at the dance schools, should also take part in some kind of dance activity as well while they're waiting. And then the showcases, we could involve the showcases as well with a dad dance at the end.
Yes.
Not to laugh at them, but to get them dancing in a really great way to show that even middle-aged men can dance and be fantastic.
And you know what? I'm actually teaching middle-aged men at the moment. We have branched into corporate team building and we are training Vodafone's global CEOs and senior leaders to dance, who are all majority 40 to 60 year old men.
Yeah.
And when they first find out that they're about to dance, you can probably imagine the look on their faces. Yeah. But once they do it, one Gangnam Style and a Running Man later, they emerge so proud of what they can achieve, and that some of them are actually really good.
So
that's our new market. Dad dancing / corporate dancing.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dads of St Albans, let's unite and dance.
And we're back on The Parent Show. This is like the most exciting show ever because we've got three amazing dance people in the studio, not including us, Shirley. So we've got Peter Lovett in the corner there talking about the psychology of dance. We've had Zoe Jackson from Living the Dream with her inspirational work that she's doing not only with children but with CEOs, which is very exciting. And now we've got Sue Wybroy. And we all know you, Sue, in St Albans because you run Pop Dance.
Yes, I do.
So tell us a little bit about it.
It started, I'm sort of from the other side really, just talking to Zoe. I'm not actually a dancer, so it's quite mad that I've ended up running a dance business. My background's marketing, but I really wanted to dance, and I was 38 at the time. I'd had a couple of kids, and there wasn't really anything that I felt I could slot into without feeling fat and frumpy and a rubbish dancer. So I work with amazing dance teachers, and we created Pop Dance, and it was really all about getting active, having fun. Didn't really matter if you get the moves wrong. Bit of 80s, Wham, you know, 90s and current stuff as well, but really sort of pop, the feel-good, cheesy, Kylie, Robbie, and Michael Jackson as well. So we're doing Smooth Criminal at the moment.
So you're sort of the living embodiment of what Peter has said. Just get up, get moving.
Yeah.
You don't need to be brilliant at it.
Exactly.
So that's what you've tried to encourage, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and then from that, there was demand for something for the kids, because obviously there's lots of dance out there. A lot of it is tap and ballet and people working towards exams. So there was actually a niche for it to just be on the fun side as well. And then after that, there was demand for the tots. So we run classes for 3 to 5 year olds and also family classes, so mums and dads can join in as well.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
And Peter, what would your response be to that? That's exactly the kind of activity you've mentioned.
I'm really excited by the idea. So how many dads do you get coming along? Do you get many dads dancing with
their
kids?
Well, they get forced to come along, some of them, and then they actually do end up liking it. So it first started off doing the family stuff when we were running stuff in Holiday Park. So they wanted the whole family to take part. And then with the tots, we do find that the dads and the mums do stay and join in if they want to. They don't have to, but if their child is, you know, would like them to be there, they can be. So
I see that's a really natural thing, because I grew up dancing a Selborne social club where my parents worked, and at a social club there we all used to dance as a family on social events when bands played. Mums and dads and grandmas would all dance together, and we used to go on holiday to Butlins in the 70s, and there it was a family dance thing. I remember learning the Gay Gordons and doing these great big procession dances around the hall, and everyone would dance in the same place. And now, of course, they've hived it all off, so the young people go for their little young dancing, the teenagers go for their raving, and the old people, well, I don't know what they do anymore. But there's no, we need more family dancing, I think.
We do, and I as a non-dancer, I actually feel I need someone to follow, because times when someone said, right, okay, freestyle, I'm just like a deer in the headlights, or what do I do now? And it's really good to actually have somebody to follow so you don't feel a fool, really, and it's getting over that. And our class is all about, it doesn't matter if you go the wrong way, it's just about having fun and meeting other people that want to get active through dance as well. And I heard Peter earlier talking about the happiness factor. You know, I drag myself out of the house, you know, with the hum, had a busy day, you know, sorting the kids out, And then when I go and dance, I come back, my husband's like, you're a different person. You know, you're happy, you've forgotten all the worries of the day. And it sounds really cheesy, but it does make you feel good getting active, and the feel-good music.
And presumably it's about connection to people. It's about community. It's about more than, you know, the movement, isn't it?
Yeah, we've made so many friends through dance as well. And, you know, if you do something wrong, you might have a laugh with the person next to you. And then, you know, a lady, for instance, came to class on Tuesday and it's only her second time. And she's like, oh, I'm rubbish at dancing. And I said, well, you know, you're not as bad as me. I'm the one that's in the corner. But we were having a laugh about it. And you don't feel silly because everyone's just having fun and caught up in it in their own little world, really.
We know that there are kind of four elements that make dancing so interesting from a scientific perspective. One of them is as a social element to dancing. So in some ways it's different to normal exercise because of the social element that's associated with it. There's a physical element to it, so you get your heart rate going as well. There's a cognitive element, so you're thinking about learning some steps maybe and following. There's a visuospatial element, you're following other people, you're learning routines, so you're exercising your memory. And fourth, there's the emotional content as well. And those four things combined together are really powerful, particularly when they're used in dance. And I won't bore you too much with the details, but there's amazing scientific studies to show that when people are more socially engaged, it can stave off the effects of dementia. In a very large study in Chicago, there were over 5,000 people that looked at those, and those people who were the most socially engaged were the least likely to develop symptoms of mild cognitive impairment leading on to dementia. So dancing is a fantastic thing to do, from a very young people socialising to very old people socialising. It's great.
And Peter, are there sort of optimal dances for the best sort of benefits to your cognition? I mean, I grew up with Irish dancing, which if you've ever seen hard shoe Irish dancing, it gets your heart racing just watching it. It's magnificent. Yeah. And the sound of it, you know. And I just wondered, were there different types of dances that have a different effect on you particularly?
There's different types of dance for different people. There was one study which compared dancers doing two different types of contemporary dance. There was a Graham-based technique, which is very bound and contracted, and there was a Limone, which is a very kind of fluid form where people kind of move around much more easily, a release contemporary. And they found that there was a mood improvement following the Limone release contemporary, but there was a negative influence of doing the contractions and being very tightly bound up. So there are different types of movement profiles. We also know sometimes that competitive ballroom dancers, when they're competing, their cortisol levels go through the roof. And now cortisol is a stress hormone, so it's not a great thing to be going up, and it has a negative impact on the heart. So there are some forms of dancing. Now, I'm not saying that ballroom dancing raises cortisol. What I am saying is the whole idea about social judgment, being criticized and putting yourself into an environment where you're worried about how you'll be perceived when you're moving, that can be quite bad for you. There are elements of different dance styles that can be fantastic, and we can help people find their groove. And the most important thing is to get a dance form that is appropriate for your age, your gender, your cultural background, and your attitudes towards your body and your movement and your size of your body. And we can help people find their optimum dance form for that.
So, Sue, if people are listening and you're thinking, that sounds interesting, I'd like to go along to a family dance event.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when they go in the door?
Well, they generally do email to say they're coming along, but you can turn up. It depends how busy the class is, but generally you can turn up. And then you'll be introduced to the teacher who will give you a little bit of information about how it all works. So generally our classes are based on sort of a warm-up, a stretch. And with the kids, we do what we call a descriptive section, where it's based on four key moves. So some of the kids are quite young, so it gives them something that's quite easy to follow. But we also encourage them to come up with their own choreography. So the descriptive section is usually themed, usually ties in with what the song is about, and then we say, would you like to come up with some moves? And then they can work in pairs or in groups or have freedom to walk around the room. And then after that, they generally just work on a main routine over 4 to 5 weeks, depending on the level of the kids and also on the choreography.
And Zoe mentioned she's got all male street dancing classes with a male teacher. Seems to be quite successful. What's your experience of boys in your class?
It's really
general?
Interesting, actually, because we have got a lot of boys and we do a lot of parties as well. And they say, oh, there's boys coming. Well, they like it. And most definitely. I mean, we do look at the choreography that we use. So we wouldn't do a whole party on just Jessie J if there were kids, if there were boys coming. So we do look at what they tend to really like. Obviously, Gangnam Style is really popular. You know, The Wanted. They do like, Will I Am. You've got to be
really
careful.
What the Fox, my 4-year-old's obsessed with What the Fox Said.
Yes.
It's such a crazy, weird song. But then again, so is Gangnam Style. Why is Gangnam Style so popular, Peter?
I think it's easy to pick up. It's a really catchy tune. There's a nice chorus, a movement-based chorus that people can learn. And it's really simple choreography. So even if you only know one of the gestures in it, you can feel like you're doing the dance.
Yeah, and when I tend to teach it to kids and corporates, if they can't quite master the moves, it's just jump and lasso, and then they get it. So everybody can do Gangnam Style.
Do you know what? I wonder, should we play a little bit of it, Danny? Do you think we've got some? He's looking a bit shocked. But Gangnam Style, it's the whole bit. You know the bit with whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, you just can't help yourself.
I just felt like I was 10 again when I was doing it. I felt, and when I came home and showed my children what I'd learnt, they were like, oh no, don't ever do that again. But I absolutely loved it.
And what age are your kids?
They're 10 and 8.
Right, yeah. Right. Perfect age.
Yeah.
I had that response when I was twerking.
I've got a vision. I've got a vision.
You said, Dad, I never want you to twerk on TV ever again. Please don't.
And what's your sort of, how would you, you know, this whole thing about twerking seriously about Miley Cyrus, and do you think she gives dancing a bad name?
No. Oh, sorry. I don't think she's good. No.
So twerking gets a thumbs up from you, Peter?
Well, any kind of movement expression gets a thumbs up from me. And twerking comes from West Africa. It has its origins in West African dance. It's a fantastic form of dance, and it's come across to her. And I don't criticise her at all for doing it.
No, I think, like you said, twerking from it's really actually quite a lot of fun, and people that can master it are very talented. I think the thing about Miley Cyrus, from some of our students' point of view, they say that she's bad because they saw her as Hannah Montana, this kind of child role model, and now she's the naughty one on the TV. So I think from a role model point of view, it's bad, but from a dance point of view, why not?
I think my kids were like, why is she licking a hammer? You know, what is that all about? So, gave them something to talk about at school,
yes.
I suppose.
Now, Sue, in the break there, you were telling us a little bit about some of the active workshops you do with children with learning difficulties, or?
Yeah, we've got a side to Pop Dance where we run Pop Dance Active and Able, and one of our teachers has got lots of experience in that area, so she's been running classes for people with learning disabilities as well as physical disabilities. And we've run some workshops with the Special Olympics in St Albans and Passport to Leisure. So going along and adapting the choreography so that everybody can dance. And I went along to watch, and I tell you, it was so lovely to see. And the one guy really, really had the groove. He could so move. You know, you could just, you know, I'm not really flowing, Peter. You can show people how to do it. As I said, I'm not a dancer. But he was just amazing, and they just absolutely loved it. So we're actually running, there's weekly classes in Stevenage, but also at Greenwood Park in St Albans. And everyone's welcome to go along. So.
And during the summer, shouldn't we all be out dancing in Verilanium Park together? A big, massive community event.
Yeah, we should do that.
Why don't we do that? Yeah, we'll all show up.
Yeah.
I was in Vancouver once, years and years and years ago, and there in the big park in Vancouver, there were people doing country dancing. Oh, and I was walking through the park. It was a massive park. And they said, come and join in. And it was just this open country dancing session in the middle of the park on a summer's evening.
Maybe
it was
we should all get our wellies on and have dancing in the rain.
Yes.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Zoe and I took part in the Guinness Book of Records World's Longest Dance. Do you remember that?
Yes,
when we
did.
At the Thames, and it was a silent disco. And we dressed Ben up, who was doing the challenge, as Cheryl Cole, Fight for This Love outfit, which he absolutely loved. And one of our girls had the Kylie Minogue outfit on, and you've got headphones on, and you're just dancing, so nobody can hear the music. So the public could come along, put the headphones on. But I tell you something, I loved it far better having the headphones on, and I was in my own world, didn't really care what I looked like. Yeah. And, you know, just... It was a really, really good event.
But
it's
definitely something to say about Ben, the guy that did this. He did the world's longest dance. He danced for a week, and the rules were that he could only have a 5-minute break every hour or a 20-minute break every 4 hours to sleep. Like, that was how it... And we saw him by day 4, and he was hallucinating and thinking the pigeons were after him. But he did it, and he raised a lot of money for a charity in Burma. But he also, last year, danced the UK. John O'Groats to Land's End. He got hit by a drunk driver
Well, he was wearing a tutu at the time as well, wasn't he? A neon tutu.
Exactly. But he got back on his feet and he did it.
He did. He's great.
The driver probably thought he was hallucinating.
Exactly. But he did an Eddie Izzard and he
And where is this amazing person?
Oh, he's amazing. How can we find him on
Is
Twitter?
He local?
No, he's not local. But
he sounds fab.
He's a teacher. He's not actually a dancer. He's a teacher. But he's doing
so people achieving wonderful things through dance.
Yeah.
Can I just add that we were talking about Special Olympics earlier on. There's a lot of research which shows that dance is fantastic for all kinds of people. So people who are language disordered or they don't have full range of language use. So dance movement therapy is a fantastic facility for a very wide range of people. So, everyone should be dancing.
I have to say, once when I was in Switzerland, I came across a lady who was a body therapist, which seems to be quite popular in Switzerland, but it uses sort of, I don't know, it's more about awareness of your body, which is what we're talking about, isn't it? And what Ken Robinson referred to, that a lot of us are just heads on feet with no awareness of our bodies or consciousness of how we move. But I think it's quite an interesting area, isn't it? Just to be more aware.
Mm. Yeah, aware of your body.
The other thing is that, especially St Albans, but quite a lot around the country, are trying to get teens active as well. So there's funding. We've been funded to run some classes, free classes for 6 weeks for teenagers 11 to 18. So they can just come along and try it and see what they think and get involved and get active as well. So there's a lot of that going on.
I think as well for our focus for young people and teenagers, one of the other reasons why I set up our charity was to target disadvantaged young people, and that's either financially or just through lack of opportunity, lack of role models. And I think it's all fair to say we can agree that dance is a vehicle that can really change lives. And what I would love to be able to do is to really extend our outreach program. We've called it I Have a Dream, based on Martin Luther King's speech, to really get these disadvantaged kids all over the UK dancing, but with the message of I Have a Dream and the expression of dance, to kind of really think that maybe what they're currently doing with their lives is not going to be something they should be doing for the rest of the time,
and that there is a choice, there is something else that they can do,
and they can believe in themselves and that they can achieve something. I think that is one of the most powerful messages that dance can bring to somebody.
Listen, I think that's a fantastic note to wrap up, and thank you all for being on the show tonight. Dr. Peter Lovett, Zoe Wybry from Pop Dance UK. Sue Wybry, good grief.
Zoe,
and Zoe Jackson from Living the Dream. So, and how can everybody get in touch with you guys? Your website, Zoe, quickly, what's your website?
livingthedreamcompany.co.uk.
Sue.
popdance.co.uk.
Peter.
peterlovett.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.